Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Animals are much more aware of our physiology and body language than any words that come out of our mouths. We've got the studies, we've got the data to prove this. And yet, we keep giving our words a tremendous power. When I started this series, I noted that the overwhelming majority of what we consider negative behavior in animals results from animal attempts to establish and protect their physical and mental space using the least amount of energy, and our beliefs regarding what they should be doing under those same circumstances, which typically involves using the least amount of energy ourselves. So when we give a come command in the security of the living room, or even the class situation, we're relaxed. We expect the dog to come. But if we give the come command because we see the dog is targeted an animal on the other side of the road, and we see some kid in a pickup doing 50 in a 35 mile an hour zone, suddenly we find our hearts in our throats. Blood pressure soars, our heart rate soars. In that instant, we communicate our fear to the animal. All the animal knows is that there has been a violation of his space. If anything, that's going to make that animal more determined than ever to ignore the command and target that perceived threat. When I think of common canine teaching methods, it amazes me that dogs are able to learn anything at all, given what we know about how they learn and their ability to read body language and physiology. Here we have a person standing immobile, giving no modeling cues whatsoever. They might be relaxed or they might be a little uptight, but they're certainly not doing anything that is the least bit similar to sitting or lying down or dropping something. Additionally, they may be carrying a treat of some sort. Now the dog has this cloud of odor to deal with, in addition to the person standing immobile, giving no modeling cues whatsoever. I don't know whether it's fortunate or unfortunate that a significant number of dogs have been able to sort through such a system, figure out what we want, and give it to us. Because it just means it perpetuates. But I do think I'm seeing evidence in my practice that more dogs are figuring out how to game that particular system. So much power we give our words. But the dogs don't really care. You can sit beside a dog, you can sit beside a cat, and just think things. You don't even have to think things. You can just feel things and share that way. If you find the mere thought of that impossible, or if you try it and think you're going to scream because you can't say something, you so want to talk, you want to coo, you want to baby talk, you want to jabber on and on and on and on, instead of enjoying the stillness of being one with that animal, then mastering that skill may be something you want to add to your do list.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.